Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm going to remind you every now and then, if you would like to show your faces, I would love to see your face. All you have to do is click on the electronic raise hand and you will be transported magically into the world of seeing for me. So I will see you and I will be able to speak to your beautiful face. So as you know, we are social animals. We don't have claws and, well, we have teeth, but we don't have those big fangs and we don't have scales. And individually, if we're left alone in the jungle, we're just lunch for somebody else. Our survival and our thriving entirely depends on cooperation. We are ahead of the evolutionary game thanks to our cooperation. We need to belong. The fear of that is greater than the fear of death is the fear of rejection, of not belonging. And the ticket to belonging is contribution. We need to bring something that is meaningful and significant and needed in order to belong. So we give and receive. I'm not talking about the spiritual love, which is unconditional and embracing everything. I'm talking about the kind of love that arises to become part of something bigger than the self. And that's where we have relationships and exchanges. Relationships build on exchanges. We give and receive various things. We give and receive attention, care, work, services, right? Gifts, favors, appreciation. If I missed anything, put it in the chat. What else? What are we exchanging when we relate to each other? What do we offer each other? Write it in the chat. And the relationships, in order to be healthy and nurturing and replenishing and to be enlivening, they have to follow a few principles. And let's go over the principles and see what they are. I'm going to list them to you. If you are visual and if you like to see them in written, there will be a link to the slideshow, and the slideshow will be also posted on my Facebook page, so you can go later and watch it and see it. So reciprocity. And reciprocity means there has to be a balance between giving and receiving. Otherwise, you are not replenished. So let's do a small embodied exploration, but be very careful with it. Don't go overboard. Try to check what happens if you breathe in more than you breathe out. So if you receive more than you give. So let's say you take a big full breath and you only breathe out a little bit. And then you breathe in more. And then you breathe out a little bit. Less, yeah, okay, stop that because I don't want you to get dizzy. It's not good. Try the other way around. Try to empty your lungs and breathe out and then breathe in only a little bit. You know, sometimes when I teach, I ask people, what is better, to give or to receive? And mostly parents tell me it's better to give. So what happens if you breathe out and you breathe out and you breathe out and you don't breathe in? Okay, we don't want to find out. So breathe normally now. You want to be replenished. There is indeed the relationship between parents and children, which is unidirectional. So in family systems, as if anybody followed Bert Hellinger's work and the family constellations, you see that love follows a pattern of flowing from the big ones to the small ones, from parents to children. So you take care of your children, and when your children grow up, they will take care of their children. And so it's unidirectional. And it's the same with charity. When you give to charity, and it's a selfless giving, it's a unidirectional giving, and still you get something out of it. It replenishes you. If you gave to a charity that you don't believe in, it wouldn't be satisfying and fulfilling. So let's do another embodied exploration about reciprocity. Can you think of a situation, a relationship that left you depleted? Maybe it was a relationship. Yeah, maybe it was a conversation. And the dynamics of that conversation left you so tired, as if you moved mountains. What is it like when you remember it? So bring your attention to your body, notice your breath, and notice what you're looking for. You're looking for the difference between expansion and contraction. So do you occupy more space or do you occupy less space? Notice your throat, notice what you're doing with your chest, notice your belly. What is it like when you're depleted, when you're tired? Because your body is telling you exactly the effect of that relationship on you. Okay, so when you had that reading, shake it off. So shake your hands, shake your body, brush your arms from the shoulder to the wrist, and brush your body from one shoulder to the other hip, and from one shoulder to the other hip, and shake it out. So the next principle is value. Value means both parties are enriched by it. So any kind of exchange, whether it's personal exchange or professional transaction, it is harmonious and it's replenishing and it's ethical when it brings value to both parties and to all. So the optimal situation is when you're both at a better place for having had this exchange. Now, the principle that I think it's key, and it's only recently that I came across the importance of it, is the right fit. And here's what I think about the right fit. Tell me something, and you can write it in the chat. Dandelions are medicinal plants or weeds? Dandelions. Medicinal, right. Both, thank you, both, exactly. So a weed, the definition of a weed is a plant in the wrong place. When I moved to Canada 20 years ago, everybody was spraying herbicides on their lawn to kill the dandelions because they were considered ugly. And people drink the tea of the dandelion root for medicinal property, so that couldn't be a bad thing. It's the same with animals. What's a pest? What is the definition of a pest? Rats. Are rats pets or pests? Annoyance. Rats. Think of rats. Is a rat a pet or a pest? Both. Thank you, Pauline. Pet, pest. Depending where. In somebody's home who bought the rat from the pet store, it's a pet. If it's uninvited in your house, it's a pest. So a pest is an animal in the wrong place. Have you ever been in the wrong place, in the wrong community, or in the wrong relationship where you're absolutely, yeah, we've been there, haven't we? Where your absolute best, your best talents, your best gifts, your best skills are neither appreciated, nor needed, nor wanted, nor rewarded. And you feel like there's something wrong with you, and you feel like you're a pest, you're a nuisance, and you're not, you're in the wrong place. You're just in the wrong place. So the right fit, when I think about, I remember dating, and many, many years ago, I doubted myself. I thought that I was the most unlovable thing under the sky. So whenever I would go dating, I would ask myself, will he like me? That was my question. Will he like me? And then I started working on myself and getting a little bit better with my self-esteem. And I changed the question. And the question was, will I like him? Will I like him? And neither of these questions are as relevant as, are we a good fit? Are we a good fit? And it's not about whether he or I or she is a good person or a great person. It's, is this the right fit? You may recall the story of the stork and the fox. The fox invited the stork for dinner and served all the food in flat plates, and the stork remained hungry. And so the stork returned the favor and invited the fox for dinner and served all the food in tall jars, and the fox remained hungry. So in your personal and in your professional relationships, look for the right fit. And the right fit is where you have shared values. You, both you and the other party, are valuing the same things. The same things matter to you and to them. And this is, it makes a world of a difference. I know I feel very fortunate to be part of this embodiment community, because I feel at home. We have the same values. We value learning, we value service, we value growing, and I'm at home, and I know that we both, those of us who are volunteering and presenting and part of the staff, we can relate that we have something brilliant to give, and it's wanted, and it's needed, and it's appreciated, and it's rewarded, and we're replenished by it. So, the right fit. Also, give what is needed, not what you think that the other should want. How many of you, tell me, are receiving in Messenger forwarded stuff that you have absolutely no interest in, but the people who send you that, they think that you should be interested in that. And it beeps on your phone, right? And it beeps and is disruptive, but you have no use for that, right? So I'm going to bring a principle that is specific for those of you who are professionals, who are trainers and teachers and facilitators, the right fee. So when you give and receive money, you actually exchange work. And you want to do it in a way that balances the exchange. So how you make the decision how much to charge, you use the head, the heart, and the gut. So the head, you do your market research and you see what the right fee is. The heart, what is your business model? Do you want to give generously? What is the scale that you want to influence with your work and so forth? But what I want to focus on today is the gut, because the gut is the body wisdom telling you exactly what is right and what is not. So how I started with Reiki. I entered, this was my entry to the world of personal development through the healing arts. So how should I charge for a Reiki session? So think of a number. For example, let's say a really $20 an hour. And put a hand on your heart and breathe into your heart and tell yourself, I'm going to charge $20 an hour for my work. And notice how it sits with you. Notice, is this expanding you or contracting? Do you breathe deeper or less? Okay, so then cancel that, reboot the system, and tell yourself, I'm going to charge, $2,000 an hour. And notice how it feels. So that you don't want to reason this, you want to really feel your own body responding to this. I'm charging $2,000 an hour. Right, and then you can play with it. Let's say I'm charging more than $50 an hour, or between 50 and 200, and you can play and calibrate until you come with an amount of money that sits well with you, and it sits right with you, and that can change as you increase your value as a facilitator and coach and teacher and so forth. Then you may adjust the fee, or you may adjust the fee for different populations, but you want it to sit well with you, because if you charge too little, you're going to hate the people who pay you, and that's not good, because you want to be in service of them. And if you charge too much, you're going to feel guilty, and so it creates some kind of imbalance. So the right fee. The next principle is ethics. So in any exchange, be it personal or professional, you want the exchange to be ethical for all. So let's say you have a transaction with a weapon dealer, and you buy weapons, and those weapons really make you happy because you like arms, you like weapons, and it also enriches the dealer because you pay them well. So it's a mutual exchange, right? It's a harmonious exchange. But the question is, how are others affected by this transaction? Is it needed in the world? Does the world need more transactions like this one? So this is how you look to see whether it's ethical. What is the impact of your transaction on others? And this is something that we deal with every day when we look at how we eat and our shopping habits, how the environment is impacted, what different cultures are impacted by our choices. So ethics. The next principle is boundaries. So boundaries are another name for rules. And rules are what keeps society together, culture, people, clears rules and expectations, define the exchange. So boundaries or rules can vary in fluidity and length and can be negotiated. So for example, one problem that I encountered in my work as a facilitator with boundaries has been distinguishing between the personal and professional. So dual relationship, somebody is a friend and also client. And when they come for a treatment session or for a class, do they linger and socialize? And so there's more time involved, or is it clear professional? Or when you give to charity, you're clear that you're giving your work away. But when you give your work away, make it clear for you that it's charity and it's not marketing, and you expect reciprocity. So very, very important to have clarity about this. And the last principle is generosity. So generosity, think of a water tap. it can drip or it can stream abundantly. So do you give a little bit, just a little bit in the relationship and receive back a little bit? Or do you give plentiful and generously and receive openly and gratefully? So how are we doing so far? Ready to move on to an exercise? Yeah, okay. So we're going to integrate the polarities of giving and receiving within yourself. So if you want to stretch, if you want to stand, go ahead and stand up, or you can remain seated. And let's take a couple of breaths together. Breathe in and breathe out. And now imagine all the people who are listening in at the same time, or maybe listening to the recording. And let's breathe in together as a community. Breathe in and breathe out. And one more time, breathe in and breathe out. So now think of a person that you know in your life who is a generous giver. Somebody who gives of their time and expertise and work, and they give freely and they give abundantly, and you can count on them to say yes for anything you need. Now think of a time in your life when you have been that giver, when you have given of yourself generously and kindly and abundantly without any reservations. And make a symbol, maybe an image or the word giving or giver in your mind, and bring your right hand up and place that symbol in the right hand. And now think of somebody who is a very good receiver. When they receive gifts, they say thank you, and they're delighted, and they're open to receive, and they say yes to gifts and money and favors and attention and compliments. They are a great giver. They're such a great receiver. They're such a great receiver that you want to give them more and more. And think of a time in your life when you have been receptive and grateful and open to receive what you're being presented with. And place a symbol of that in your left hand. So with your hands up, you have the giver in the right hand and the receiver in the left hand, and the palms are stretched up and in front of you. And I'd like to invite you to look at your right hand and to say out loud or in your heart and feel it in your body and in your breath, I like being generous and I like giving. And then look at your left hand and say, I'm very receptive, I'm a grateful receiver, and I enjoy receiving. Now look again at your right hand and say, I love being a giver. I love being generous. And look at your left hand and say, I love receiving. I enjoy receiving and I'm very grateful. So I'd like you to now allow yourself to feel a force like a magnet that is pulling your hands together towards each other very, very slowly. So it should be a very pleasurable sensation. It's a magnetic force, magnetic pull that brings your hands towards each other until your palms meet. And when your palms meet, bring them into your heart, either in the prayer position or one hand over the other, and take a few moments with your eyes closed. And allow this integration to sink in your heart. And feel what it is like to have both the giver and the receiver inside you, available for any exchange as appropriate and timely. And as you have the giving, somebody says that's a nice feeling. Very nice. What are you noticing with this integration? Note it, write it in the chat. What are you noticing about your breathing? What are you noticing about your body felt sensations? Be as specific as you can. Joy both ways. They feel like they serve each other, of course. Feels warm, deep balance, calmness. I yawned and felt my body relax and unwind. Beautiful, very soothing. I feel more balanced and peaceful. Warmth in my heart, beautiful, integrated, pleasure, joy, and sadness. Oh, interesting. My left feels empty and my right is filling this void. Very interesting. Heart is filled. I want to breathe deeper. Warm and relaxed, replenished. Lovely, lovely. You guys are wonderful. You're doing wonderfully. Nice, nice. Thank you. Calm, complete, relax, fuller breath. Great. Hard to feel both together. I want to work on those symbols. So this is definitely an exercise you can do with any polarities, with yin and yang, with breathing in and breathing out, with giving and receiving, with rest versus activity. And you can place a symbol, which can be an image or a word, symbolically in the hands, and then bring the hands together in integration. Melting, heart opening, felt nice, didn't extend to heart. I feel like giver right is not strong enough. So this is a good exercise that points to areas of growth, to where you want to pay attention. Hard to feel both together. I want to work on those symbols. All right. Okay. So, ready to move on. Let's do some explorations. And the reason I want to do these explorations is because I would like you to get really comfortable and familiar with your body's wisdom. Because your body is indicating to you whether relationships are a good fit or the wrong fit, or replenishing or depleting. So I'm noticing that there are questions. So we're going to leave 10 minutes in the end to answer the questions. So bear with me and you'll get some answers. All right. So I would like to invite you, if you have someone at home to play with, you can play with a partner. Otherwise, call in an imaginary friend. And we're going to do some embodied explorations of the dynamics of reciprocity and right fit. So if you'd like, stand up, and you don't have to, you can sit. But if you'd like to stand up, we're going to steal from Mark Walsh's embodied yoga principles and take the stance of receiving. So the stance of receiving, you step back with one leg and you place your body weight on the back leg and you extend your hands in front of you with the arms, with the palms upward, ready to receive. You can even move the fingertips to invite, yes, give it to me, give this to me. And imagine that you have something that you need and you'd like to receive it, and you are standing across somebody who is unable or unwilling to give to you what you need. And you are receptive, you are open. And now if you're in the chair, you can lean back in the chair. If you don't want to sit up, to stand up, or you can stand up, you can lean back in the chair, extend your hands, and invite to receive whatever you need. And imagine that your friend, your imaginary friend, is in front of you and they have nothing to give you, or they're unwilling to give you. And so your need is not met. You are not receiving what you need. And notice what's going on with your body. Notice how you breathe. Notice any sensations around the stomach, the abdomen. Notice your chest. Right, so let's go back to center and shake it off. Shake it off. And now let's do the other way around. So imagine that you have something to give. You have a talent, you have a gift, you have, breath is shaking and feel like crying. So if, of course, tightness and sadness. So shake it off, shake it off. Shake your body and brush, use your right hand to brush your left arm from the shoulder to the wrist, and then your left hand to brush your right arm from the shoulder to the wrist, and then brush again from one shoulder to the other hip, and then from the right shoulder to the left hip, and shake it, shake your body. All right. So now bring your body weight, if you're standing, bring your body weight on the front leg. So one leg is bent in front of you. I know we have Aikidoists here. You know what I'm asking of you. So one leg in front of you that is bent, and you bring your body weight on the front leg. Again, with the arms extending in front, this time you're extending the arms and the hands to present something, to present a gift. And imagine that you have across from you someone who has no use for your gift. Maybe they're the wrong fit. Maybe they're the right fit, but they are unable to receive for whatever reason that has nothing to do with you. But they have no use for your gift, and this is your best gift. And you want to contribute because you want to belong. You want to connect with the other person. This is too close to home. Yeah, we've all been here. We know exactly what it's like. But I want you to feel it in your body so you can read it, so you can recognize it and not spend too much time there in your real life relationships. So once you've got the reading of that, shake it off. You don't need this. Don't linger with it. Shake it off. Brush your body. Brush it away. Shake it away. Shake it off. Right. So let's see what other scenarios we want. Oh, yes. Here's a fun one. You are standing in front of your imaginary friend and you have nothing to give them, and they have nothing to take from you. So you can cross your arms, and you can even, what's the opposite of smile? The corners of your mouth are going downwards. You make a little face of displeasure. I have nothing to give you. You can shake your head. No, I have nothing for you. And the other person has nothing to take from you. They have no need from you. And what does it do? What does it feel like? Can you even have a connection? Is there any possibility of an exchange with this person? All right. So shake it off. That's another good one to shake it off. And now I would like to invite you to imagine that the best person, the most favorite person in the world, is sitting or standing across from you. And it's her or his birthday. Someone you really, really like and love and care about. And you have something precious to give this person. So again, come into the offering stance. If you're standing, bring your body weight on the front leg and extend your arms and hands in front of you to offer your gift. And this person, guess what? They love to receive your gift. And imagine this person open. And so they're leaning back and they're extending the hands and the arms to receive your gift. And imagine that their face is luminous with delight. They really enjoy to receive what you have to offer. And notice how you breathe. And notice the sensations. What is it like to have your gift well received? How much space do you occupy? Notice the quality of your breath on the top of your inhale. Is it? Yes, feels like being seen. Yes. And how do you breathe when you're seen? How do you breathe when you're seen? And what is the temperature? Yes, feels like being seen fully. And what is the temperature around your chest and your belly? Warmth and your hands and your feet. Yes, warmth and joy, exactly. So now let's switch. So now you're receiving joy, feel valuable, happy for the other. Absolutely, absolutely. So now you have a need. You have something that you need from the other. And the other is still your favorite person and you are their favorite person. They really love you a lot. And they can't wait to contribute to your happiness. So lean back on your back leg or lean back in your chair, extend your arms and hands up to receive. You can move your fingertips to invite. Give it to me. I really want it. And the other person is leaning forward to offer their gift to you, which is the exact right fit for your need. Right? Yes. What is it like to be fulfilled, to have your need met? And imagine, so you can imagine, use your imagination to envision maybe a cornucopia of fruit pouring in your lap, or maybe it's money, a lot of money. Maybe it's declaration of love and affection. Maybe it's gifts. Tingly, feels like a hug. So valued and appreciated, exactly. Known and understood. So take a few moments to breathe this in and to allow yourself to remember what it feels like to be fulfilled and replenished. Because you're gonna go home. Well, you are home. It's a pandemic. So you're gonna go to your relationships and you are going to remember what it feels like. And allow your body to help you navigate your exchanges towards replenishment. All right. So we're wrapping up our exploration here. You can, if you want, you can stay in this state of being replenished. You don't have to shake it off. You can keep it and let it linger and have fun with it and enjoy it. All right. And we are ready to open. Actually, before we open the Q&A, give me some love. Put in the chat what you feel when you're replenished with specific. Give me some specifics. How you breathe when you are fulfilled and replenished. Mobile. So good, thank you. Feel nourished, feeling loved, full, feel liberated, nice, feel excited, orgasmic, nice. I feel light, feeling appreciated, lovely, beautiful, beautiful, inspired, loved, cared about, moist, unspeakable joy, radiant and luminous, relaxed and joyful, fulfilled, respected. My breath is quieter and more satisfied. I feel joy, beautiful, beautiful. You guys are doing great. Thank you. My goodness, you know how to play. All right. Also energized. Thanks for giving. I appreciate your gift. You're very welcome. With a lot of love. With love. I have a big smile. I wish I could see it. Also energized. Seen. All of me seen. Lovely. So, 2 minutes. What is your, what, how are you going to apply this exploration in your real life relationships? Go ahead and say it in the chat. How is it going to help you navigate relationships? How are you going to apply? Inquire with more consistency and connection. Exactly. Very cool. And you're going to run for the woods when you feel depleted, right? Yes, run the other direction and go where you're loved, go where you belong, where it's a good fit. Be more clear about asking for my needs to be met. Yes, listen to my guts. I won't neglect what I feel. Hallelujah. Learn to receive. Stop trying to connect to those who don't want it or can't receive. Yes, yes. I wish I knew this 20 years ago. Right. I'm going to try to give and receive freely. Yes. So one tip that I learned from contact improvisation. Somebody who was leading the contact improv class said to us, if you're presented with something, take it. Somebody's offering you their back or their knee or their arm, take it. Somebody's offering you something, take it. Yes, thank you. Oh, such a gift, Anna. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy. Let's go to questions. So we have any advice on how to receive closure in a relationship in which you no longer speak to the other person? Well, that depends. That depends if it is possible, if it's not too much resentment, if it is possible to have a conversation with the other person, I would say do initiate speech. You know what? It's funny. I've been volunteering with the embodiment circles, and we have the embodied connection games, and we're practicing speaking and saying what we want. And the last one before the conference was about breakups. And a good formula is to speak to the other person and to say, to start by acknowledging everything that went right, everything that enriched both of you. And then to express sorrow for it not working and to wish the other person well. What you are wanting to do is to live without resentments, but from a place of loving kindness. If that conversation is possible, if not, have this conversation with an empty chair instead. So at least you have the closure within your own self. What if you give too much and people take advantage and don't reciprocate? If you listen to your body, then you'll stop. You'll stop doing this because your body tells you exactly when you're depleted. It might take a little bit more, so I really encourage therapy. Therapy is helpful to address the patterns. So the body helps you navigate, but it might take a little bit more to change such deep patterns. So, what if your partner is not responsive to your needs and hardly give to you out of fears of being vulnerable? Again, it depends. The couple relationships require shared values and worldviews and shared commitment. If that's in place, couple therapy can help. And communication and learning, skillful communication, that can help. However, you have to check to see if the commitment is there and shared, and if the values and worldviews are there and shared. With that, this is the right fit. And the right fit part, if you ever look into developmental psychology and stages of development, you can see the different views and whether you share them or not. You can learn more about yourself and the other. So I hope that, I wish I could fix it all for everybody, but I hope this gives you a direction where to go next. Can you talk a little bit more about connecting to your gut instincts, knowing where your boundaries are? So, I need to understand what exactly is your question. What are you, Ryan, what are you trying to understand? So if you can explain.
I can't have an electronic microphone with the help of my tech host if...
Oh yes. So if you want to move to be from attendee to panelist, if you want to be seen, you can unmute yourself and actually talk with me, Ryan, and help me understand your question.
Okay, I'm just not sure if I know what to ask because I'm unsure what feeling your gut feels like. Trusting your gut. Is.
Okay. So, what you're looking for in the gut feelings, you're looking for sensations of contraction versus expansion, and direction of movement and body temperature. So, for example, you may feel tight or you may feel loose. You may feel light or you may feel heavy. You might notice that your breath is soft, or your breath, when you breathe in, it's like a block on the top of your inhale, or when you breathe out, not all of the breath goes out. You might feel your body temperature equally distributed, which is a sign of balance, or you might feel that your extremities are cold, let's say your hands and your feet are cold, and your head is warm. So this is something that you can learn from mindfulness meditation, or if you'd like, if you're going to connect with me after this, if you like how I teach and you want more, I'll be happy to share with you. I will probably offer soon a specific workshop for noticing and articulating the gut feelings so you know what to look for. I have been asked before by people, so I'm going to be happy to offer this in the near future. All right. I hope this helps. So, what if you desire to be a gift to others, but are receiving from the other person? Is it better to just let them go? Not because they're manipulative, but because they are wounded. Well, if you find somebody who's not wounded, send them my way, because I haven't met anybody. We all have wounds. We all have shadows. We all have projections. And the moment you put two people together, you are going to have projections, and they will inform the exchange of giving and receiving. And this is the fate of being human. This is why we love dogs and cats, because we have, this is our opportunity for untainted love with conscious beings that don't have shadows and projections. So what we hope for when we have two people together with shadows and projections, that there's enough commitment for showing up for each other and for personal development, that you go and address those and overcome them where it's possible to overcome them. Because sometimes it is possible, and sometimes you're actually getting at a better place for having overcome projections and shadows than not at all. So I hope this helps. I'm fixing everybody, now you're gonna go home, your relationships will run smoothly for the rest of your lives, right? Okay, stop laughing. This is a serious, serious thing. So we have time for 2 minutes for one more question. Virginia, can you help me find one really, really good question, like the best that I can answer in 2 minutes and save the world?
The problem is there are so many wonderful questions, and our audience is just so engaging and alive, and I'm interested in every single one of them, so I'm biased.
My goodness, we'll have to meet again then. We'll have to meet again.
So I like the one about what do you think is the bottom line of the shared values? What's the essential of shared values? How do you navigate
Let me give you a quick example from moral development. So when you look at stages of development, if you look at morality, you can slice the pie into, let's say, egocentric, it's me versus the world, to ethnocentric, it's us versus the others. So at the egocentric level of moral development, the motto of the person is, I want it, I get it, and the important thing is that I don't get caught. At the ethnocentric level of development, and I'll be really quick, the motto is, we follow the rules, obey the rules, obey the rules. So if you have one person from falling in love with the other, and one is all about obeying rules and the other one is all about doing my own thing and not getting caught, it's not going to work. You have a gap between the worldviews. So this is just a quick example of how this works. All right. So these are all the questions that I can answer today. The good news, I'm still around to answer questions in other venues. Keep in touch with me.
And also, we have the coffee break. Tana, I don't know if you're intending to join the coffee break room, which Roxana will be putting a link in the chat.
Yes.
Everybody else who was here, we do have the coffee breaks. We do encourage you to go there and speak with people. It is part of the perhaps one of the best parts of the experience of the conference. A lot of people report on how enhanced their experience was after joining the coffee break. And wrapping up, I would like to remind you that we have the next session on here on the Intimacy and Relationships channel at 2 a.m. UK time, so in about 3 hours. It will be by Dr. Jessica Tartaro. And the title is Shabam, a 60-second tool for re-sparking the magic in lusterless relating. And I don't know about you, but even reading the title just makes me want to go and watch it. So we have the coffee breaks there in the portal. Join those. We have the Facebook group. Please join and continue the discussion there as well. Tana is in the Facebook group and she can see your questions and answer more of them. And we'll be facing as well Tana's resources there. Tana, unfortunately, I'm aware that Roxana cannot paste as a file, but if people connect with you through the details we share in the chat, then for sure you can get the file to them so they have the information. And as you can appreciate, I can see that you're all very interested in what Tana has to say. And I'm so happy that, Tana, you did the exercises with us. I enjoyed them and you all enjoyed them. There is 1,000 speakers in 10 different channels. And there are 10 different channels running at the same time. And I want to see all of them. And I can't. So in order to give a gift to myself, I will be personally buying the recording. Well, I have done already, actually, and I'm navigating through them when I'm not on a talk. So I would say, if you would like that, give yourself the gift of the recordings, receive it, and then digest it in your own time, in your own boundary, within your own value system. It's a nice thank you also to us, to the people who have worked very, very hard to put this together, and who have been working for many years, not just lately. And it's also a good way to make it available to people who cannot afford to buy the recording. So that's the purchases is what makes this available, more accessible to people who can't actually afford it. There are extra features if you buy the recording. So you get learning lists, you get notes, you get an audio-only version that you can listen to as you're walking or cycling or doing something else. So it is good value. I encourage you to do that, and the link is in the chat. And you can find there the information about where you can find Tana or else. And Tana, I would like to wrap up by giving you the final word. And can you leave us with one tip, your number one tip for being embodied?
Number one tip, pay attention to your body. Pay attention to how you feel in any interaction. And listen, even to go to the contrasts, go to from one contrast to another in order to practice. And then it's going to be easier when you have very tiny, imperceptive, subtle changes for your body to tell you.
So the more we give attention, the more we receive the stimuli. Is that what you're saying?
It's a good skill to practice. It's a good muscle to flex. It's your gut feelings, your instincts. These are your instincts.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed the talk. And by the looks of it in the chat, everybody else did as well. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, Tana Schaller, for being with us. It was such a huge pleasure.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Keep enjoying the conference, everybody. See you in the breakout room, in the coffee room.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.